أربعة للبودكاست.
In days of yore, when knights were bold and stories of adventure yet untold, welcome there to a new episode of True European Knights Podcast, a production of Arba. Tonight we will be journeying back in time to a world where slavery was a grim reality. What if freeing a slave was the penalty of every sinner across ages? That would have given us a world with no black and white, only equal humans. Well, that's my saying, and sure, it wasn't Abraham Lincoln's back in the 1860s. Turning back the wheel of time, what defines slavery anyway? It was a form of property, asset. For centuries, enslaved people were acquisitions to their owners. And the more enslaved people a household had, the wealthier its owners were. This type of property was somehow a means of livelihood, a form of trade. Trying to abolish that all of a sudden, of course, would cause a civil war. After depriving those who owned slaves, there came the others. For the enslaved, snatching them away from their accustomed lives means losing a familiar source of food and shelter. So, said you, well, truth to be told, notions and nations are most complicated to re-adhere. To manage these two, wisdom is a must. Slavery was already spreading every inch of every culture and land. Humanity began taking steps against it since 1700. These initiatives kept falling to failure. Abraham Lincoln's initiative to abolish slavery provoked a stratification gap, class struggle, social inequality, name it. And then there was the Civil War. Overall, persistent trials against slavery worked, but that didn't save those freed people from the tragedy of marginalization. Which takes us back to the beginning, the birth of racism. Hold on to that, I need a cup of coffee. Where were we? Oh, slavery. Slavery was ubiquitous, a very common lifestyle for both enslaver and enslaved. Arab nations were no exception, but, and that's a big but, the religion of Islam adopted a very clever approach to gradually eradicate the roots of slavery without disrupting the normal flow of life. As slavery was first born, coping with and limiting it was the option one, since violence wasn't a key at all. But the how was the question. Arab used freeing slaves as penalties. You sin, you free a soul. This type of penalties is called kafara in Islam, and it means atonement. It refers to a specific act of compensation for a sin or violation of Islam law. It is a way to seek forgiveness and purify one's soul. Well, before you even ask, Islam had set this penalty of freeing an enslaved for a couple of sins, two of which are unintentional homicide, violating an oath, and so on. This solution took a very long while, but it worked revolutionarily. Now, what about those freed enslaved people under kafara? What life was ahead of them? This led us back to the middle, the marginalization. Now, you're the one who needs a cup of coffee. Let me tell you a story of an enslaved in the Islam history. His name was Salman al-Farisi, Salman was a curious and inquisitive child, but not a satisfied one with the teachings of his religion. He embarked on a quest of truth. Yet fate had a different plan. Eventually, Salman was sold into slavery multiple times during the harsh realities of bondage. He heard whispers of Prophet's message of faith and justice. He went to the Prophet Muhammad and expressed his yearning and eagerness to Islam. Upon that, the Prophet Muhammad asked his companions to help Salman to plant palm trees, and eventually they sold them. With unwavering determination, Salman managed to accumulate enough wealth to purchase his freedom. And later on, Salman proved himself truly invaluable to the Islamic community. Well, happy ending, that's a call. Now, allow me to turn back to the 1880s. Once upon a time, there was a young lady, an English explorer, an Arabian horse breeder, the granddaughter of Lord Byron, married to Wilfred Blunt, a diplomat. Lady Anne Blunt. Our heroine spent most of her life traveling with her husband in the Middle East, and at the end of one of their expeditions, they brought back Arabian horses. She even spent her final years in Egypt. Our Anne had her own passionate interest in Arabian horses and the Arabian desert. She was renowned as the first European woman to ride through the Arab desert. Well, and later on wrote a book titled A Pilgrimage to Najd. In the pages of this book, there is a fascinating quote I'd like to share. She described how it is common for Arab to treat their enslaved people like spoiled children rather than servants. In another event in this book, she also described seeing three men standing. She said to her companions, "Two of those three are gentlemen, and one is enslaved, but I can never tell them apart. However, if you want to recognize the enslaved of his honors, you can watch them passing by a muddy ground. The gentlemen will be lifting their garments while the enslaved won't mind the mud getting to their clothes." Easy, Anne, huh? I've got another explorer in my bucket. Bertram Thomas, a British diplomat and explorer, most famous for being the first Westerner to successfully cross the Rub' al-Khali, often referred as the Empty Quarter, the vast desert in the Arabian Peninsula, which was a feat considered impossible at the time. This British explorer first served for the army in World War I. Later on, he followed his passion for exploring and went to Oman and Muscat and served as finance minister. Well, Bertram, the dedicated scholar, highlighted the humane treatment of enslaved people in the Arab societies, which abolished the shame principle that was stuck with all the enslaved people. That delicacy and kind-heartedness with the enslaved people was the common way of treating them since ages and until the day. Gustave Le Bon, a French physician and historian, considered one of the most famous foreign historians who focused on studying Eastern Arab and Islamic civilizations. He studied medicine and traveled extensively in Europe, Asia, and North Africa. Le Bon was interested in psychology and produced a series of influential research papers on group behavior, popular culture, and the means of influencing crowds. His research became a fundamental reference in psychology and for media researchers in the first half of the 20th century. Le Bon was known as one of the most famous Western philosophers who defended the Arab nation and Islamic civilizations. He did not follow the path of European historians who traditionally denied Islamic contributions to the Western world. However, Liban, who traveled extensively in the Islamic world and conducted social studies there, acknowledged that Muslims were the ones who civilized Europe. He believed in reviving the golden age of the Arabs and presenting it to the world in its true form. In 1884, he wrote the book The Civilization of the Arabs, which gathered the elements of Arab civilization and its influence on the world. He also explored the reasons for its greatness and decline, presenting it to the world as a debater acknowledging their creditor. Gustave quoted the Lady Anne Blunt in his book, and he also added, "Muslims hardly viewed slavery with contentment. The mothers of Ottoman sultans, who were noble leaders of Islam, were themselves slaves." Well, since slavery vanished during centuries, what would really vanish racism too? Specifically in the non-Arab world. Leave me your comments. Your thoughts are valuable. That was this, Mameen, with two Arabian Nights. Stay tuned for the next cavitative tale. And until then, don't forget to subscribe, like, and share the episode with your beloved ones. See you soon again.